Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm pleased to report I am joined in the studio by none other than window cleaning entrepreneur Tony Girdlestone, director of Clear Vision based in Southampton. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. I think entrepreneur is a bit of a stretch, but, you know, old scrubber more now.
Oh, I love that. Tony, thank you for coming into the studio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
You're welcome.
And I'm really excited to unpack your unique business journey. I mean, where do we start? I tell you where we'll start. How did Clear Vision come to fruition?
2005. Mm-hmm. My dad had a cleaning business that he started in 1977.
Sure, yeah.
Called A&M Cleaning. That was named after me and my brother, Anthony and Michael. I ended up back at my parents following a marriage breakup.
Right.
And had a few issues with a business with a friend who done something he shouldn't have done, and I got left holding a baby. My dad gave me some tough love and said, you can clean windows. I won't put it in the terms he put it, but basically get out there and get on with it. And mm-hmm. So I went for a walk all around the outskirts of Romsey with some hand-printed leaflets.
Oh, wow.
Picked up my first house that day, still remember it, and then within 2 weeks, I had 55. They went on holiday, and by 2-3 months, I had about 80, 90, and then put an advert in the classifieds, in the Echo, and picked up a load more. Back then, local gazettes and things like that really worked, and it just went. It
just grew from there.
Yeah, it just went. I spent every evening out dropping leaflets. I'd go 2-3 hours every night. I'd pick somewhere else and just drop and just carried on and on and on and on and on.
And what I love about that is that method of marketing, which some people might think is old school, you yeah. still do it today
yep.
and it still works.
Yeah. I think it's like a dripping tap, leaflets. We dropped 90,000 last year.
Oh, wow.
Through Royal Mail. I'd never done it before. It's difficult to measure the exact outcome, but it got traction. People visiting the website, clicking through, inquiries, and it just went nuts. So next year we're going to do even more.
Yeah, up it. So your career then as a window cleaner,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't necessarily planned, very much a family business.
I learned to clean windows when I was 13.
Yeah.
My dad stood me at the back of, I used to go with him to his office cleaning, and I used to go with him from the age of 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
And we still see some of those people from that job today.
And it's hard graft.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It is. It's not so... It differs. I mean, from going up and down a ladder every day to now wielding a pole, it is a little different. Different set of muscles, but...
I'm looking forward to chatting about that and the change in perception. And obviously things have moved on a little bit, haven't they, since
they
when you first started.
Yeah.
Is Clear Vision still a family-run business?
Yeah, it's mine. I've been offered investment a couple of times. I've always been hesitant, and I think that is not because it wouldn't be welcome. I think it's more that I don't want to answer to anybody. Mm. I was happy. My dad was my conscience for many years, but now he's 81. He still offers me his help. Do you want me to come out and work? And no, I don't.
Oh, brilliant.
No.
It's funny what they say, isn't it? When you go self-employed, you can, in some respects, make yourself unemployable.
Yep. Yeah, because you get used to working a certain way. I couldn't work for anybody again. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I think it's being your own boss gives you a degree of flexibility.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
It also means that you have to be accountable every step of the way.
And talking about accountability, I'm keen on chatting a little bit later about your experience with business coaches and how that's helped your business. Do you, Tony, tell me, do you still go out and clean the odd window, clean the odd house?
I've probably cut down this. I think at the start of this year, I was probably 70% out in a van, more carpets and ovens, the odd window. Being the boss, you can pick and choose which ones you do or don't do. Mm. Now, I think I'm less than 5%.
Yeah.
Pretty much off the tools, full stop. But in terms of carpets, I'll still go out and train and give a bit of advice. Windows, I still enjoy it. if I was to go out for a day, plug myself in with some music, and I'm away. Yeah. And talking to customers. Some of them still like to see me.
Oh, no doubt. And I must admit, having visited your, I say, warehouse / headquarters, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
I was amazed at the amount of kit that you had. And you invest in good quality kit, don't you?
Yeah, I've always put everything that we've made has gone back in. So whether that's gone for better equipment, better vans, better systems in the vans. So now all my vans have hot water, so they heat the water as they go. Which is a massive investment and an ongoing cost, because obviously it runs off diesel. Mm. We all know what the price of fuel is. But I believe that if you invest in the people in terms of giving better equipment, easier ways of working, you know, that their vans are their offices. So if they're nice, you know, specced out as I would like them, then you hopefully get a better response from your staff.
Absolutely. Well, look, Tony, hold that thought, because we need to take a very short break, just because we've got some ads. We've got some ads. You can catch your breath. And we'll come back. Join us for part two, where we're going to be getting into Tony's process, how he does it. It's going to be awesome. So don't go away.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm in the studio with the incredible Tony from Clear Vision. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm still here.
Yeah, perfect. That's what we love. Now, we were just having a conversation in the studio, like you do. And people might be surprised to know that you just use water when you clean windows, don't you?
We do.
No chemicals.
But it's not tap water.
No.
That's the assumption.
Talk us through it.
Often when we go to a house, they'll say, oh, we've got an outside tap you can use. And they're a little bit perplexed when you say, that's no good to us. Because if you water your plants, hanging baskets or anything like that, you will get white spots.
Is that the limescale?
Yeah. Because we're such a hard water area, that's in our water. That's it. So we have to purify it. And in our unit, we have a commercial grade water softener that then goes through a filtration system into reverse osmosis. And then we finish off with what most people know as DI, which is deionizing resin. The water then goes into a tank, and then my guys will transfer it from there into their vans. But it's a process. And because of the volume that we use, the filtration system has to be able to cope with that volume.
Mm. And how much water do you use on a weekly basis?
At a bare minimum, 20,000 litres.
Oh, wow.
That includes what goes... It's probably more than that, because for every litre of pure water you produce, it's roughly another litre that goes back into the storm drains.
And it's quite an elaborate setup. How long does it take, Tony, for that purification process to happen?
So we have currently a 2,500 litre tank in the unit. And I upgraded my filtration system 2 years ago. And that will fill from empty to top in roughly 8 to 9 hours. Mm-hmm. So that's 2,500 litres there and 2,500 going down the drain. So it's 5,000 litres in 8-9 hours.
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously, when you first started, a handful of customers. compared to fast forward to today, where are you currently at?
We are sitting at, we cover roughly, it's in and around 4,000 houses from Holbury Forley down to Fareham and up to Winchester.
Yeah.
Commercially, we go a little bit further afield. So we're in Poole every 2 weeks at a rather nice hotel. And we go up. I've got two guys going to High Wycombe tomorrow. We used to go into London. That used to be a really early start on a Saturday morning, but that's not done anymore.
No.
So it's about 4,000 houses and probably 200 commercial premises, ranging from shops to big offices.
And I'm glad you brought up the sort of difference between residential and commercial. From an operational standpoint, what are the differences? Are there more windows? I suppose there's more windows.
Yeah, I've seen lots of things over the years where people treat them differently. So commercial, you know, we have a standard. So when we do a house, there is a standard that we uphold. And a lot of the times you'll see people not treat commercial the same way.
Mm.
And I believe that it doesn't matter whether it's a £2 job or a £2,000 job. They get the same treatment. That's it. That's the standard. That's the expectation. That's what's got to be done. Commercial to me is a little bit more cutthroat. People are more concerned that, oh, someone's come in, they're going to knock a fiver off. It's not personal. It is all about business. Whereas residentially, they're more loyal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more, it's about the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I believe, whether it's commercial or residential, if you're having someone on your property, you need to feel safe and secure in who is on there. Hence why everyone's uniformed. Same uniform, same sign writing on the vans.
I love your branding. It is really cool. And there's probably listeners out there that have probably seen your vans.
Probably.
In and around the Southampton area.
There's 10 of them now, so.
It's interesting what you just said there about customer service, because you're really hot on after sales, aren't you?
Yep. Yeah, it's one of my beliefs. It's difficult to carry out without the right staffing levels. So when we get an inquiry, the girls in the office will contact, whether they've emailed or phoned, they will make contact, they will qualify the inquiry, try and find out their exact requirements, whether they want somebody to go out and have a look or whether they want to send photos in, which is, as much as I don't like it, is more and more common these days.
Mm.
From there, they will send a quote. If they accept the quote, they then get a welcome pack, which has T's and C's, FAQs, all the information we can provide. Then they get booked in for their visit. We are, as far as I know, we're the only ones that notify people 3 to 5 days in advance of when we're coming. So our work is planned way in advance. And then following the visit, the girls will make a phone call, email, text, all three, to find out if they're happy, if they got left with the right information, even did they get left with a pen. And because that's the point, if you're going to lose somebody, you're going to lose them after the first time.
Mm.
And you want to try and stop that as much as you can, because once you've lost them, you're not going to get them back.
Well, yeah, because it's much cheaper to retain a customer than to keep filling the funnel with new ones.
You'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, insurance companies don't think like that.
No, they don't. Or phone providers.
No.
It's interesting. You mentioned the team. How big is your team, Tony?
So I have three full-time ladies in the office, including the wife. I have 8 full-time window cleaners. And then I have, it's 19 to 21 part-time office cleaners with a cleaning manager.
Oh, wow. We're going to be talking about the office cleaning side of it. And also, you do oven cleaning as well.
We do lots of stuff.
Let's not get into it all at once. But let's go back to the actual, you know, the work, right? So going back to the days where it was a squeegee.
Yep.
Is there a technique to that?
There's lots of different techniques.
Mm.
I was given, when I first did it, my dad set me up at the back door with a squeegee and applicator, and I think it took me 50 times before I did it without leaving any marks or any streaks or any smears. And then you do it again and slowly you get a bit better. For me, when I did it, I was always one that said, I don't care how you do it, as long as it's done properly and you know we've been because the window's clean, but you can't see evidence that we've been, as in watermarks or tram lines around the edges, where I think you should tidy everything up.
Yeah.
Wipe the seals down. But, yeah, I sometimes we miss the ladders. Most of the time, not.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. Back in the day, a ladder, a squeegee and a bucket of water.
It's cheap.
But it's not like that anymore.
Nope. Still carry it because they're part of the toolbox. So when I switched over to pole, it was 2007, mm-hmm. and it was relatively unknown. Not many people were doing it, and to educate customers was really difficult because that understanding and myself, because you to try and get your head ready when you do a squeegee, the window is dry, you've left it dry. With a pole, you leave it wet. And to get your head to believe that that's going to evaporate and dry off without leaving any marks.
Because of the water that you guys use and the way that you treat it.
Yeah, but you have to believe. And that's not an easy thing when you're used to cleaning a window dry to leaving it. You're leaving it wet and walking away.
Yeah.
And it took me 3 months. I think for the first 3 months, I was crying out for my ladders back. I ached in places I hadn't ached for years. I was slower. It was cost more money to run. And then I had one of those light bulb moments. I did a house, pulled out the hoses, got to the front window, and the heavens opened up.
Absolutely.
And I was soaked before I could get back to the van. So I finished the job, but I didn't put a card in to say that I'd been. And I went back the following day. So I thought I'd go back the following day and check it, you know. And when I went back, and it had absolutely thrown it down all day. When I got back the following day, the windows were absolutely spotless. Mm. And I went, oh, it works. And from that point, I was away.
You were converted?
Yep, I was away.
So that's the window cleaning bit.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about the carpet and the oven cleaning side of the business.
Carpets and ovens, we've never really pushed. Same as office cleaning, because it's me. And my time now, as we've grown, is I have less and less time to go and do those things. The oven cleaning started about 18 months ago because I felt that we were missing a trick. I'd seen other companies gain window cleaning customers off the back of doing ovens, and the same with carpets. So yeah. I thought, ooh, we need to do that. It's only now we're starting to push it a bit more. And I've got Andy who does that for me and enjoys it, which is great. It is in depth, and there are people out there doing it differently.
Because it's quite an involved process, isn't it? When you do it properly.
Yeah, take the door off, strip the door glass, all the different bits. Some doors have three panels of glass. Take them all apart, clean them all. Same with the fan housing at the back. Everything gets cleaned out, cleaned up, and then put back together. That's one of the one services we do where invariably you get that wow factor. People will often go, oh my God, look at it. It looks like it's brand new.
Yeah.
And that's satisfying.
Absolutely. And even with carpet cleaning, I didn't realise there's a bit of a science behind that as well.
Well, there's different methods. So the old trusted way is hot water extraction. That's how I was taught by my dad. And then we upgraded a bit of kit 10 years ago. We upgraded his old machine to a new one for a commercial job. And they always offer a free training course, and I went and did it. And I believe that it doesn't matter whether they're introductory courses or different manufacturers, you'll always learn something, even if it just refreshes. And we learned some stuff. My dad learned some stuff, because when I went back and fed back to him, he'd do things differently than what he did. Machinery helps, but with carpets, to be honest, 90% of it is in the prep. If you prep the carpet properly, the cleaning part's easy.
Yeah.
Understanding different fibres. And commercially, you can use another method, which is called encapsulation.
Oh, okay.
And that's low moisture. It's a little bit cost-effective, a little bit more cost-effective, maintenance-wise. But it works.
It's amazing, isn't it? What percentage, then, out of the business, you've got the window cleaning side, you've got the sort of oven side, you've got the commercial sides?
Window cleaning, I would say, is probably about 65% of our revenue.
Yep.
the office cleaning, which has grown, is about 30%, and then the other 5% is just windows and carpets.
Absolutely. How long does it take, Tony, to train up a member of staff? Let's take the window cleaning side of it. How long does it take to train someone up so that they're,
from,
you know,
fresh?
Yeah, from fresh, yeah.
But even if they're not fresh, if they've come to me and they've done it before, they will go with one of my senior guys for a week, at least a week, because I need to see what their standards are. You know, they might have worked for somebody that doesn't have the same standard. They might have worked for someone that does something better. So there's a learning curve both ways. And they will go on their own once we're comfortable that they know how we work. From someone scratch, some people pick it up quicker than others. I usually allow a good couple of weeks before I allow them to go on their own.
Yeah.
And then it's softly, softly. You know, I'll often send them to an area where one of my guys is working, so that there's someone there for support and a bit backup if they need it. But like I say, some people take to it really, really well. And some don't.
No, I can imagine. Yeah, it's like most things, isn't it?
Yeah.
How many houses could you do in a day?
How long's a piece of string?
Yeah, I suppose it depends on
so
how big they are, isn't
if
it?
They're all bolted together, you could go down a road where you might have 20 houses and they're all three-bedroom terraces or three-bedroom semis, and I could probably do that in 5 or 6 hours. If they're all together, because you've got less reeling in of hoses, less running around, you can just whiz along the front and then go to the backs.
That's going some, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, look, Tony, we need to take another short break because we've got some more ads.
Okie dokie.
But listeners, don't go away, because in the final part of the show, we're going to be delving into some of the challenges that Tony has faced along the way, of which there are a couple. And he's going to be sharing some of those insights and how he overcome them, which I think is absolutely fascinating. And of course, any top tips out there for anybody that might be thinking about starting a business, any wise words of advice from Tony. So you're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Don't go anywhere.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice. Voice FM.
I'm here in the studio with Tony from Clear Vision. Tony, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. So look, Tony, let's jump straight back in. I want to get some wise words of advice from you and some talk about some of the challenges you faced along the way. And in part two and part one, actually, we were talking about, you know, your dad, he taught you everything you knew. But there was this time when you had to make quite a difficult decision.
Yeah, COVID, obviously we all know what COVID did and didn't do. My dad retired properly 7-8 years ago. It was longer than that, and I was running his business alongside mine. His was just ticking along because that's not what got me an income. Mine was the one that did that. And then when he properly retired, which was 2019, I ran it for a little while and then went, this isn't working. I've got two sets of bank accounts. You know, to accountants' charges and everything else. And he had roughly 35 customers because it was purely commercial office cleaning. And I had 2,000-ish. So I kind of looked, and although his had been going 42 years and mine 14, I felt that Clear Vision was branded. People knew who we were. Obviously not as big as what we are now or as big as what I want it to be, but people knew us, and they didn't know A&M because there was no branding. My dad's ethos was that he was in it to earn a living, and I'm a believer that there's a balance to be made between earning a living and making some money as well. Without ripping people off. So I took the decision that I was going to fold his and amalgamate it into Clear Vision. Difficult conversation.
I can imagine.
An upset father that 42 years of his work, he felt, was gone. And all I said to him was, I either let 35 customers know, and they use me and my email address, and they know who we are anyway, or I let 2,000 people know. And that's how I sold it to him. He's fine now. But at the time, it wasn't a nice conversation.
No, yeah, quite right. And as looking back now, it probably was the sensible thing to do. But even then, it's the heart ruling the head, and
yeah.
Sometimes you have to make the decision based on...
You either have someone you can run things by, or you just have to take a step out and do what you think is right.
Yeah.
I've always been lucky in that I've had a couple of people that I can bounce ideas off. They will be very, very blunt with me, more than I can say here.
But it helps.
And there are times when you get stuck, which I found last year.
Well, that's it. And talking about those people, you know, that hold you accountable and tell you how it is.
Yep.
Probably needs nicely onto the business coaching side of it.
Yep.
How have you found having a business coach?
I'd always been dead set against it. I looked at the money that it cost and went, no, that's a new van. That's another new van. Why would I do that? I know what I'm doing. I've got people that I can ask. And then last year, we got to a size where you can't let the bank account rule. Mm. And the bank account was good. There was nothing wrong. You know, we had money in the bank. We were busy. But in my head, I knew that I needed to be clearer and more understanding of what's going on deeper in the business. So I sat with my accountant last December and we had a chat and he agreed. And then I got introduced to Mr. Page and we had a discovery conversation, and it was, part of me felt embarrassed that I couldn't drive it further than where it was. But the other part of me said, I need someone to be accountable and reassure me that actually you're doing all right. One of the things I live by and try and impress on other people is, don't always look at where you want to go. Look at where you've come from. So if you can measure that, you know, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, even a year, look at where you were and where you are today and then go, actually, that's okay. You can then give yourself a bit of a pat on the back and say, I've done okay. Mm. You know, from where we were, I mean, it scares me sometimes, our wage bill, you know, and I look and think, God, 3 years ago, we weren't even turning that over.
No, yeah.
And we're way, way over it. And it is frightening. And you need that person to go, you're all right.
Yeah.
You're doing the right thing.
It's almost like a bit of a life raft, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mind getting a grill in, and I don't mind, and we'll argue. He'll challenge me with things and I will bite back and say, no, I think you're wrong. And I'll defend it and all's good. But I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. And that's crucial, isn't it, really? Yeah. The accountability, like you said.
Yeah, without having a boss. He calls himself my unreasonable friend.
I love that.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the other challenges that you faced, you know. Getting the right staff is something
staff
that...
Staff's a difficult one. I suppose I'm quite lucky from where I started and the jobs that I've had. I've been employing for over 25 years. And you learn the type of people you want working for you. So I'm very careful about character. They don't all have to be the same people, but they have to gel. And especially my window cleaning team, they have to get on because they need to help each other out and there needs to be a bit of banter and camaraderie. I'm a big believer in banter. You have to have it. We have to go to work. You've got to try and enjoy it as much as you can. Mm. And it is a place where whatever's going on at home, you leave at the door. Work is the escape.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge because finding those people is difficult and you don't always get it right. I'm quite lucky at the moment that I think I've got a good team and they do all get on. There is loads of banter, but they are very different as well.
They gel and they're kind of, everyone's got each other's back.
Well, one of my old staff who absolutely gutted that he moved up north, but he used to say to me, everyone's so dysfunctional that they actually get on. You know, and he's right. They're all completely different, but they get on as well. So I don't do confrontational people. I don't want them. And the main reason for that is it makes my job harder. So the easier I can make my job, the better life is.
Well, let's talk about, because you love an incentive. I've seen the staff reward chart on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
I was acutely aware that last year we were asking more and more of the team. We want checker trade reviews. We want you to put leaflets through doors. You know, you do one house, put leaflets in the six either side, you know, and if you got time, knock the door, do all the stuff. But we weren't giving anything back. And I felt that it was, we needed to find a way of incentivizing them. So we created the rewards board, and every task from looking after their van and equipment, new customers, services sold in, helping out a teammate, checker trade reviews, everything's got a points score allocated to it. And then at the end of the month we total it up and they get their Love to Shop vouchers.
Oh, I think it's brilliant, isn't it?
But even old school window cleaners, I mean, Paul's been window cleaning 36 years. He looks at the board every day. Where am I? What's going on?
Where am I at?
Yeah.
And of course, it creates that culture where everyone wants to sort of pull together.
Yeah.
And they're all willing to do that little extra.
Yeah.
Tony, I'm curious, what's on the horizon for Clear Vision?
So commercial and office cleaning is something we've never, ever pushed.
You've done quite well so far.
We're doing all right. But I've never had the structure to do it because it was always me and my old number two that used to cover all the holidays. So we'd be out at 4 a.m. till 10 at night. But I'm too old to do that now, and I don't want to. So when he left, it forced me to change my structure. That's worked. So I now have a cleaning manager, and we're in the process of putting a supervisor under her, which will enable us to provide better cover audits, more focus on the relationship between us and the client rather than my relationship.
Sure, yeah.
And so we're just having some leaflets printed, and we're going to get out and pound the streets and put them out. And then on the back of the Royal Mail leaflet drop we did this year, we're going to push it a bit further and probably double it. So anything between, I'd like to get 200,000 leaflets out.
That's mega.
Yeah.
And I suppose if there's any businesses out there that think, oh, do you know what?
Yeah.
We need an office cleaner. Get in contact.
Yeah, windows, carpets.
The whole lot.
The whole thing. I always say to people, the only thing we don't do is residential cleaning. It's the one thing that I've never wanted to get involved in.
I'm curious, Tony, if you were sat opposite somebody right now and they were looking to start a business, let's say they're currently employed and they're thinking about taking the leap, and they say, Tony, I've got this great idea. What do you think? What advice would you give that person?
Go for it. But talk to people. Talk to people that have started their own business, running their own business, and listen. There's no one way of doing it. You've just got to go for it.
Yeah, it's hard work.
You've got to put the legwork in. If you're not prepared to do it, then don't.
Because you do a bit of networking, don't you?
I do a little bit.
How have you found that for your business? And would you recommend somebody that's maybe starting out?
I would if you find the right group. I've done different bits of networking, so I did a golf one, but I did that to play golf, not to network. And then I did another one for a little while, which I did not enjoy, but the one that I go to now...
Which one is that?
Poddy.
Where's that based?
Holiday Inn at Eastleigh every Friday morning, and that I've enjoyed. Good bunch of people, very supportive, and again, it's one of them groups that everybody seems to get on. There's no real animosity. So yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's not pressured.
And it's quite good, isn't it, as a business owner, to surround yourself with people that might be experts in stuff that you're not necessarily an expert in.
Well, that's how I met my accountant, and the chap who does all my graphic design. I met them playing golf networking. And we have great relationships, and yeah, that's what I've got from it, is I've found people that can help me rather than what I can do for them.
Is there any other advice that you might give someone?
Oh, be patient.
That's a good one.
Patience. And the other advice I would give to someone is when you're taking on your first member of staff, it's advice that I was given, and I did it differently, is make sure you've got a month's worth of salary in the bank before you take him on.
Yeah, that's wise words there, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't. I did it on overdraft, but...
But it worked out okay.
It is good advice, and it is right, because if you haven't got the money, it's a bit like whatever you do. If you haven't got the money, you shouldn't be doing it. Mm. You know, and staff is that one.
And there's never going to be the perfect time. You can't wait for the perfect time, can you? Sometimes you just have to...
When I took my first one on, I was stuck between... I had too much work for me, not enough work for two. So I had to take a gamble.
Yeah.
And it paid off. But, you know, you've got to be brave.
Completely agree. Well, on that note, we're nearly out of time, Tony.
Are we?
Did you want to do a quick shout out to anybody?
Only my little girl, Harry. She will listen if she's not already. But, yeah.
Oh, you like your live music, don't you?
I do love my live music, yeah.
And I know Harry does as well.
She does. She's done 5 gigs now.
Oh, wow. Well, massive shout out to Harry.
Thank you.
Maybe we should get her into the studio one day.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, if you've enjoyed that show, then I'll be back again with another incredible guest next week. And of course, don't forget, we'll be taking a little bit of time off for Christmas. Tony, thank you very much for coming into the studio.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We wish you and the team over at Clear Vision, you know, every success. And perhaps what we could do is, in 6 months' time or 12 months' time, we could maybe do a revisited. And we could see what you've been up to. See if the commercial cleaning has taken off. And I can't wait to hear what results you've got from that mega leaflet drop.
Yeah, we're going to go for that.
You do love a leaflet. Anyway, that's Matt on the business on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM.
Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM. And if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.